Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Let It Be Solar hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. And let's go to the Let It Be Solar hotline right out of the gate here in the 4 o'clock hour. We're about to be joined by the head football coach at Navy, Ken Niumatalolo. Navy, in his fifth year as the head coach, they went to bowl games their first 3 years. And as the head coach, they tied the Naval Academy record with 10 wins in 2009. And lost the opening game at Notre Dame 50-10 in Dublin, Ireland 10 days ago. We're joined now by Ken Niumatalolo, the head coach at Navy. Ken, welcome. It's great to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right. Let's talk about the Dublin experience, first of all. First of all, going over there and then how it played out. Give us your view on both parts of that.
Well, besides the 3 hours of the football game, it was a great experience. when you get your brains beat in, it kind of dilutes all the other things, but it was a great experience for our young men. It's always hard, to schedule a game that far away, just all the logistical things, the time difference. But Notre Dame had to deal with the same things. As coaches, you're kind of control freaks, and you want to manipulate and control everything, and there are things you couldn't. You couldn't adjust to the time and all that kind of stuff, but having said that, it was a great experience for our young men.
Something that was seen at Navy in recent years, especially the last decade, really strong quarterback play, and you experienced that, especially in your first 4 years at the Naval Academy. Give us an idea on the kind of young man Trey Miller is and also what he brings to the quarterback position you like.
Well, what he did last week or 2 weeks ago against Notre Dame didn't surprise us. Just in practices and in scrimmages and in the spring, he's a pretty elusive guy. He's hard to tackle in the pocket. He keeps the play alive with his legs. He's a good thrower. He's probably not as fast as our quarterback that we had last year, Chris Proctor, but he's a fast kid and probably not the thrower of Ricky Dobbs that we had, 2 years ago. He's kind of in between there. And so I think his versatility allows us to do more things, and we'll probably throw the ball more with him.
Yeah, I was going to say, I noticed that with him, he did throw. Now, obviously, it's a product of the game itself, but he threw 19 times. But in the running game, he ran the ball 20 times. Is that do you need 20 carries out of him, or do you need better distribution?
Well, we need to be, better distribution. A lot of it is some of it was by design. Some of the carries were broken plays, off the pass. We actually called more passes than that, and it broke down in the pocket and he had to scramble. We definitely don't want to throw the ball that many times. We want to be able to throw the ball on our own terms, but when you're down that much, obviously you got to try to get back in the game.
The size requirements at the service academies, each one runs a version of the option. For you, when you recruit, where are you hindered in recruiting? Even though a service academy is such a great thing to be a part of, but where do you have to work around in order to build a football team?
Well, we feel like, we recruit nationally just like Air Force and Army. So we feel like across the country that there's enough kids that will fit the niche that we're looking for. Obviously with academics, that cuts the pull right off the bat who you can actually look at. And then the military requirement, who would actually interested in the military. But I think, for us in the last couple of years with the economy the way it is, there's actually been a lot more people interested in us. Just I think some of the parents realize that for their sons, just the economic stability of having a job for 5 years and, graduating as an officer, and I think those things are alluring to people. But it's hard to get the 6'6 and 350-pound guy, you know, because eventually they got to run a mile and a half and, you know, 10 minutes and 30 seconds, you know. And so they might be able to knock people around, but it's hard to get a big guy to run that fast. And so that makes it tough. You know, we all realize that, you know, we're not going to be able to run the power and the ISO and the zone play. So us running the option just gives us a chance to compete.
For obvious reasons, I've been friends with Ed DeCellis for over 30 years now, and Ed was telling me last year that he had to structure his practice between 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock no matter what. And one day, for example, one of his players walked into practice soaking wet. And he said, well, what happened? He said, what happened with you? He said, well, we were doing seal maneuvers, and I was in the river. And he had to spend all that time in the river. What do you have to do? How do you structure your practice and working around their particular schedules to make sure everything fits just right for somebody who's being trained for something else other than football?
It's tough, Steve. You just got to realize that it is what it is. Here's a lot of time that you have. You got to be as detailed and as organized as you can as a coach to realize, hey, this is the only time that you'll see them. Because other schools that you coach, I mean, the kids, they hang out at your offices, you know, when they're not in school, and you see them all day. You know, they're either in the team lounge or something like that. Here, you don't see these guys except for practice. And so you got to find a way to get in those couple of hours or an hour of the meeting time that you have with them that you can get all the information disseminated that you can. And you just live with the other stuff. I mean, I think some of the intangibles of the toughness and the discipline are things that you got to play on and, you know, try to utilize, because the other stuff, you know, it's out of your control and there's nothing you can do about it.
And they have to be up and going, what, at 5:30, right?
Yeah, so they got, you know, some early morning things. They got formation in the morning and classes. The hard part here, you know, that Ed will probably tell you and anybody that's coached at the academy is just the recovery time and nutrition. You know, these guys, you know, they're up all night studying and you're all day at school. Then you come to practice. They don't get the recovery time that, you know, the normal Division I football or basketball player gets. So towards any part of the season, they start to get emaciated. You know, just guys start to lose weight. Just they don't have any time to rest.
What does it mean, though, to you to be a part of the culture of the Naval Academy?
Well, I think, you know, just with 9/11 happening yesterday, just, you know, it's humbling just from the standpoint that you know that these young men and young women that come here will eventually go or be in a part of a war maneuver, or be a part of that conflict in some way or capacity in Afghanistan. And because of what happened, you know, 11 years ago, there have been two major wars, and our guys come here not just to play sports or to go to school. Eventually, they'll be serving our country. And so you always realize there's a bigger picture besides blocking and tackling and, you know, running a curl route. You know, these guys are learning leadership skills that someday may save somebody's life.
And you have to get ready, though, for the football part of it, which means you have to get ready for the curl routes and things like that. When you look at Penn State, what do you see?
I see a team that's a couple plays away from being 2-0. You know, it's just you watch the game. I mean, they obviously dominated that game last week. You know, unfortunately, they missed some kicks, which, you know, I feel for them because we had the some similar situations last year. We lost, you know, 5 games by 11 points, and we missed some kicks at the end of the game. And so I see a team that's right on the cusp. You know, they've grasped Coach O'Brien's offense pretty quickly, I think, and just, you know, all the different things that they can do. And defensively with Coach, you know, you see some stuff they're doing, Coach Rufo. I mean, it's the same stuff that they look like a typical Penn State defense. I mean, they're tough, hard-nosed, run to the ball. We got our work cut out for us, and I believe our kids understand that, you know, that this is going to be a tough game for us.
Ken, I appreciate the time you gave us on the show today very much, and we wish you nothing but the best, and also to the outstanding young man that you have the privilege of coaching.
Okay, thanks so much, Steve.
All right. Now that is Ken Niumatalolo, the head football coach at Navy. Thank him for joining us on the show today. Different world. He has to win like everybody else, but it's a different world, isn't it?
You know, the one thing that struck me is when he was talking about, you know, not being able to get that 300-pound guy to open up holes in the middle. We're not going to be able to run certain things because this is a guy that's going to have to run a 10-minute mile as well. That really puts it in perspective with why Navy is running the offense and has run the offense they have for the last so
well,
many
it's the
years.
same with Air Force
absolutely.
And Army.
Absolutely.
I believe it was either Ken Hatfield or Fisher DeBerry, and I think it was Ken Hatfield, that took Air Force to the option offense. And Air Force was the first one to run it. And when they did, it was because of the size requirements. It's not really a size requirement. It's because of the 10.5-minute mile requirement. The one kid for Navy that plays guard is 318 pounds. I think they only have, he's the only 300-pound-plus guy they have in the starting offensive line. I think they only have one. No more than two. Everybody else is in the 280 range. Well, he must be one heck of an athlete at 318 to run 10.5 minutes in a mile.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I say that, and I say that with all due respect, because believe me, to get him to play football, they're not sitting there and saying, well, gee, no, you ran 11 minutes. No, you either run 10.5 or you're done. And I think that's very important to remember. And plus the time, he only gets a couple of hours a day with them. That's it. Meeting time. You know, I've relayed the story about Ed before. Ed has his practices between 7 and 9. He has 2 hours. That's it. This isn't a case of, gee, we're going to be in the film room now for an hour and a half, and we're going to have to, you know, then we'll go out there and do a walkthrough, and then we'll practice. And no. You get 2 hours. And as I related the story to Ken in the interview, he had a player last year show up at practice, he'll maneuver. We've had some questions. And when he does transfer, he will be eligible to play right away next season for whomever. All right, so once again, Shawnee Kersee, no longer with the football team. He will transfer. He'll probably transfer at the end of the semester. And he will be eligible to play right away next season for somebody. So that's the story. Hopefully that gives everybody the update they were looking for. Look for Trevor Williams to step up. Look for Brandon Mosby Felder to step up. Paul Jones is now out there as the F. And I have to make a decision, I think, on Geno Lewis one way or the other. Okay? Right now, Geno Lewis is in the category of they hope to redshirt him. But he has not once been taken off the varsity unit. Okay? He has worked varsity. He has not worked scout team one time. Yeah, so just try to keep everybody up to date on what's going on. This is, the third time Kersee's been off this team. I mean, he wasn't part of the poll mix. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. Nice to have the Navy coach on with us on the Lenape Solar Hotline live today. And also, it's been able to update you on the Shawnee Kersee story. Okay? We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you could make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, the sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy. With a great rate of return, In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to the planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives with professional and certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza would like to give you some advice on your next used vehicle purchase. There are many dealers offering $2,000 over Kelley Blue Book value for your trade, or a minimum of $3,000 for your clunker. Do you know what that means? It means these dealers are asking $3,000 too much for their vehicle. At Sunbury Motors, we have the lowest price promise on pre-owned vehicles. We research the market and make sure our prices are the lowest of any similar vehicle within a 50-mile radius from a franchise dealer. We also put our used vehicles through a stringent 135-point inspection, making sure you're getting a quality vehicle. So don't be fooled by the smoke and mirrors from these screaming dealers offering unrealistic trade offers. Visit Sunbury Motors online at www.sunburymotors.com, or better yet, come in and see that every pre-owned vehicle is clearly marked with our lowest price promise. Sunbury Motors, proudly serving Central PA for almost a century. And remember, always ask for a Carfax.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Shikellamy Sealands Grove this week. Should be quite a game, huh?
I'll tell you what, this is going to be, as Phil Lockoff would say, a dandy brook.
Good.
We have a lot of great Philisms. But yeah, it's going to be a great game at Sealands Grove. Get your seat as early as possible because they'll fill up quickly.
Mm-hmm. That'll be fabulous. Looking forward to that. That'll be on Friday night. And Saturday, Penn State Navy, our thanks to the Naval Academy for setting that up for us. Ken was very accommodating. He said, "What time do you need me?" And I said, "Yeah." And jumped right on board. You know, to be honest with you, it'll probably be the only time during the season we will get a coach on live from the opposing team, just because of the circumstances. So, you know,
I know that problem.
For it. Well, no, I mean, because most teams are practicing right. Their meetings right now.
Exactly.
And because he can't have kids till later this afternoon, he's got time to do it. And Navy's is a different kind of story. It's interesting. I mean, it's completely different. It's very interesting. So, and I think it's something where when you look at everything that they do and everything that they go through. And yeah, I heard somebody say, you know, I hope they aren't booed when they come out. They aren't going to get booed when they come out. Come on.
Really?
That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. This is not. I mean, I could almost assure you of that. I mean, people have too much respect for the institution. Too much respect. I think you know, they would run up there, oh, boo, wait, are going to boo guys that are defending you?
Nope.
You know, I said to somebody, somebody said, boy, they lost big at Notre Dame. I said, yeah, but this year they picked up a huge win in Pakistan.
I think you said this too earlier this week, and that's the game I'm more concerned about than winning.
That's the one I'm more concerned about than what they did in Dublin. I'm a little more concerned about that one. You know, you send in SEAL Team 6. All that stuff they did in the river before, like I was talking about Ed's kid before. Well, guess what? And look at P.J. Byers on the football team here. Now, Brett, they have two guys. Brett Smith who had two tours of duty in Iraq. He's on the football team. Great guy. Has that Brett Kiesel beard going for him right now. And then you have P.J. Byers, who wants to be a Navy diver. And they're special people. P.J. Byers goes out to practice every single day, and he busts his backside every day on scout team, knowing that if he plays, it'll be a play or two. And that's if he plays. And I just, nothing but the highest and immense respect for him. I mean, he is as respected an individual on this football team as anybody I've been around, P.J. Byers. And when they run out of the tunnel, here's a little secret for you on Saturday. It's Military Appreciation Day. P.J. will run out of the tunnel. He will lead the team, and he'll be carrying the American flag. So that's something to watch for. And just a guy, I cannot say enough good things about him. He's a great guy. And his dream was, I'd like to run out of that tunnel. Sure. And we will hear from P.J. Byers from excerpts from yesterday in the next half hour. Robert Saki, by the way, who's the play-by-play voice of Navy football, joins us tomorrow along with Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com. That's part of tomorrow's mix. Also, the guys from SteakHouse.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Jill had asked a question and I guess missed out on getting the answer from what we understand. I'm more than willing to go through it again and answer the question for her. Anyway, I dealt with Notre Dame.
Yeah, the question was, how can only some and not all of the university's sports teams do that, and what's the benefit?
Well, for them, the benefit's exponential. And again, when it comes to, because they can still keep their independence in football and keep all their football money. And when you sit there and look at it from their point of view, they're going to get whatever. Okay, they're going to get whatever out of all this. They get five games scheduled. They don't have to worry about it, which is a big plus for them. And, I mean, that's a huge plus for them. And then the next part is when it comes to, they only have to schedule now seven games as opposed to 12. They get the basketball component of being a full member of the ACC basketball conference. Huge. When it comes to the financial part of it, you know, they also get a bowl bid from the ACC out of it. There's just a lot of things that they get out of it that it's all a plus for them. Now, for the ACC, it's a roll of the dice. They get Notre Dame into this thing in combination with Pitt and Syracuse. They get to 15 in basketball. And I think they're rolling the dice that they can somehow within the next 5 years entice Notre Dame to be a full member of the conference. I think that is the roll of the dice that they're taking right now. So Now, to me, that's what they're doing. You know, they're trying to take a calculated risk and see if they can give in to Notre Dame with five games on the schedule, which will benefit their members, especially when they play Notre Dame at home. Those are sellouts for them in all likelihood. And it may help them contract-wise down the road with the ACC basketball championship. So, now the other sports, they still have to pay a lot of money in the other sports to get them going. The reason being is that, like the Big East, they had to travel all over tarnation to do this thing. Well, they're going to have to still do that. The ACC is still going to be a hard travel road for them. So, PJ Byers, I hope that answers Jill's question.
I got a call for you, Steve, if you have a second there.
Yeah, let's take that first. All right, let's go to it. Hello, Bob. How are you today?
All right, Steve, Kevin. I got a question about the service academies.
Yes.
As an Army vet myself, the service academies still have to fall within height and weight standards. Is that why they run offenses that are different than most colleges?
Yes, there's absolutely the reason why. Now, for one thing, when it comes to the service academies, for example, Navy has one kid that's 318 pounds that starts on the offensive line. If that young man can make a 10.5-minute mile, he can stay in the Naval Academy and he can play. He obviously can do it, but they have to do that part. And that's why they run the option, because in the option, you area block and you use quickness and deception. Ken Hatfield got this thing rolling at Air Force many years ago, and Fisher DeBerry then carried it on. And in the end, both the Naval Academy and West Point looked at what Air Force was doing and having success with, I might add, and say, you know what, that's what we should be doing too. And that's the reason why all the service academies run a form of the option.
Well, and I always wondered that, but I was pretty sure that that was the answer. And I think for the most part, the service academy kids that are playing are really playing for the love of the game, because they know that their career is not in the NFL, for the most part, like some of these other colleges, as a feeder program.
Right. I mean, there are very few guys like Chad Hennings, for example, that moves on and plays in the NFL the way he did with the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, that era, where, I mean, remember how long Roger Staubach had to wait 5 years. Joe Bellino, before he played with the Patriots, had to wait 5 years. So a lot of guys along the line had to wait. David Robinson had to wait, and he waited a little bit less time than other guys did because he was already 7'1", and the only thing he really could do at that point in the Naval Academy, especially a guy that was specialized in submarines like he was to recruit.
Right. Yeah, well, I think it's also a career risk, because if somebody gets a knee all mangled up, that could be the end of their military career.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I mean, it would be end to their active military career in terms of the ability to go into the field.
Right. And I just think it's great for our service academies to represent. And I, like all veterans, are glad that we can play big time football in our service academies.
Yeah, no question about it. No question.
Thanks, Kevin.
So much. Thank you, Bob. No problem. Appreciate that. And our number, 1-800-795-9565. Yesterday, PJ Byers wants to be a Navy diver, part of the Penn State football program. Excerpts from his teleconference.
Oh, the guys coming out of the academy are prestigious officers that come out of there. They work their butts off to not only play football, but they have extracurricular activities on top of what they do as military requirements. But they're confined to Annapolis, and when they graduate, they're amazing officers. I've worked with a few officers that graduated from Annapolis, and you know, the way they lead is different than the average officer. So I'm excited to work with them in the future. You mean how he relates to military?
Yeah, how he is as a leader.
Oh, he's a great leader. I mean, when I was in, we have our commands are have a chain of command to where the commanding officer is obviously in charge of everybody at that command, and that's how I see him as our commanding officer. And he's here to lead us, and he's been doing a great job. I compare him to some of the commanding officers that I've actually dealt with. I mean, he's a fantastic leader, and the way he took this team and all the stuff that came with the team, we're moving forward, and he doesn't see anything in the past. He's just here moving us forward, just like anybody else would as a commanding officer that I've seen. So I'm so happy how he took the team, and it's just going to get better. So can't wait.
I mean, I'd say it's extremely difficult because there's no way that you can replicate the kind of speed that they run that offense with in practice. You know, with your first offense, you know, or with your scout teams, you know, they're good at what they do, and they're fast. And, you know, there's no way that you can get a scout team offense up to that level in just a few days or from watching film. It's definitely going to be tough to replicate that speed, and we're going to have to be ready for what they bring to the table. It's frustrating to lose the football game, but we can't put the blame on any one person that's not how this works. We're a team, and I will stand by the offense and everybody on this team, every single individual, and it's just something that we have to do a little bit better, and we can get better at that in practice from watching film and stuff like that.
The last couple were Pete Massaro, by the way, and the speed, replicating the speed is difficult. Malik Golden is the guy they're trying to get to right now. He's the guy that is trying to replicate Trey Miller in practice. What's interesting about Trey Miller is he ran the ball 20 times in the game against Notre Dame. He handled the ball a lot. He only gained, I think, 16 yards, which is a credit to Notre Dame's defense. I mean, that's a credit to what Notre Dame did in the ball game. But I think they want to get better distribution out of their running game. And it's only going to be Trey Miller's second start. And we'll see how he handles it. But they've had 2 weeks to prepare, but 2 weeks for them is 10 hours. Can they get 2 hours a day? That's it. That's why you got to give the Navy coaching staff a lot of credit. They take that limited time. And to their credit, in that limited time, they get a lot done. They're very organized to do what they do it with the limited time they get. Game 2009. And that's, again, they have to do this. They have. Think it's the only way this pays off for the ACC, the only way it pays off for the ACC is if they can somehow within 5 years. I mean, that's the part. You can't keep sacrificing bowl bids and things like that unless unless you can somehow lure them into full membership, that you can convince them that this is the way to go. The ACC, that's the gamble part right there. That's the gamble. Then it pays off. But if they stay with this agreement where it's good for Notre Dame basketball, and it's good for ACC basketball, by the way. It's interesting about the ACC. At the top of the chain, Notre Dame, North Carolina, Duke, consistently there. But the ACC usually gets 3 to 5 teams into the NCAA tournament. 3 to 5 on the average. They are not a 7-bid league, usually. Now they've migrated towards 7-bid league because Syracuse will do it. Pitt will do it. Pitt has a great basketball program. We know what Syracuse has. And Notre Dame is consistently really good. So they have now migrated themselves probably into a 7, potentially 8-bid league after being traditionally, in the last 10 years, a 3-to-5-bid league. Where, you know, that 1 year Wake Forest is really good, 1 year Clemson's good, 1 year Georgia Tech's good, 1 year Maryland's good, 1 year Florida State's good. You know, they're not usually getting more than 5 bids in a year. So basketball-wise, the addition of Notre Dame is a big plus. Notre Dame is a basketball program under Mike Bray that is very good and part of the NCAA mix on a relatively consistent basis. But can they make, can they somehow convince Notre Dame that down the road, being a full member in football is the way to go? Can that happen for them? That's where the gamble, that's where they hope the gamble pays off. Because it's a gamble on their part. Because look, 15 is an odd number that doesn't really work all that well. And if they were to become a 15th member, they'd need a 16th team to balance it off. And the way the ACC is set up right now, there are certainly candidates out there that can do that. I mean, so that's, see, there's a lot of variables to this. A lot of variables. And it's not as simple as, hey, they're in, you know, I think that's, so I've tried to outline as many as possible, okay? All right, as many as possible. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Final segment of the show coming up in a few moments on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome back. A big day today with thanks to Navy's head football coach for being on the show today. Coach Ken joining us from Annapolis. Talk about the game and about the Penn State, about his football team, and I think gave us some insight as to the challenges that he deals with along the way. I mean, there are certainly a lot of challenges that he has to deal with that are just different than any place else. It makes the Naval Academy a special place to be, and, you know, it helped me a little bit in terms of being able to talk to him because of knowing Ed DeChellis as well as they do and the contact I've had with Ed, who has to obviously go through much of the same thing. So, you know, that's those are all, you know, I think he gives you some, you know, interesting insights as to, you know, what they have to do. And also about the game itself. They have to get ready for a game every week, and they've done well. I mean, they've been to bowl games repeatedly. Last year was actually the aberration for them in terms of not going to a bowl game. I mean, it's totally different. Yeah, totally different. Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com on the show next week. Or excuse me, on the show tomorrow, I should say. So, and we're looking forward to that. And then we'll have our friends from statecollege.com before the week is out, talking about a variety of things, including this Notre Dame move today. So we have all that and more coming up the next couple of days. Sealands Grove and Shikellamy, previewing that one. Do that tomorrow as well. So there's just a lot going on, and it's just a fun, exciting time of the year. Plus, your calls have been invaluable. Questions are invaluable. And makes a big difference in the show. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. Kevin's getting ready for the big showdown on Friday night. I know you're looking forward to it.
Oh, I love these games. Sealands Grove, Shikellamy. especially when the two teams are playing as both as well as they are and as consistently as they are. This should be a very fun matchup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially, and Sealingsgrove comes off that big win over Trinity last week, too.
Right. Yeah, it's a huge one for them to beat Trinity the way they did. So this should be a great matchup. Good old, as they would say, good old-fashioned backyard scrap.
What is it? Was it Horty called it years ago? The brawl for the mall. That's what he used to call it.
The brawl for the mall?
The brawl for the mall. Well, the reason he called it that is because these kids always hang out at the mall together. You know, they know each other real well. So this is whoever wins this has bragging rights when they're walking around the mall. The brawl for the mall.
Yeah, there we go. Very nice. Very nice. Looking forward to that very much. That'll be big on Friday night. I know you're excited about it. I mean, it's legit. You're excited. Ready to go.
I mean, for a long time, it's been Chickalamy dominating this series and then Sealingsgrove dominating this series. Now, this is a series that has been literally back and forth. Some of them have been district championship games. I mean, a couple of league games have been with a field goal, winning by a field goal late. This is a real, real fun rivalry now. It's a true rivalry now.
See, you can't have a true rivalry until both teams feel like they're going to win.
Exactly.
That's where the rivalry gets testy. The rivalry gets testy when they finally get each side winning. Oh, and then it changes up. Tomorrow will be fun. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com on the state of the Big Ten so far.